desires and my focus completely rearranged. Now I've started drifting, we're not close anymore. Please bring me back to the place where I was before.
Send a revival to my heart, oh Lord, cause a spark that can burst into a flame, so I'll never be the same. Please forgive me where I fail, and give me a new start. Lord, make a difference, and send revival to my heart.
How I long to be close to you again, without the broken fellowship that was caused by my sin. So whatever I must change, or whatever I must do, I surrender everything. Draw me back close to you.
Send a revival to my heart, O Lord, cause a spark that can burst into a flame, so I'll never be the same. Please forgive me where I fail, and give me a new start. Lord, make a difference, and send revival to my heart. Open my ears so that I can hear you speak. Remind me of the cross of Calvary. Send a revival to my heart, O Lord, cause a spark that can burst into a flame, so I'll never be the same. Please forgive me where I fail, and give me a new start. Lord, make a difference and send revival to my heart. Lord, make a difference and send revival to my heart. My heart.
Thank you for the good song. Boy, that stirred me, I'm telling you. And at 5:45, we kneel for just a few minutes and ask the Lord to give us a revival. Send one to us. I don't know how you are when you pray at 5:45. I sincerely ask God for a heaven-sent revival. I'm not sure we're ready for it. Not sure we're willing to pay the price to get it. Sure would be good, though. I tell you, it would change a lot of things. Fix a lot of things. Really would. And a great song. Really caused me to ponder about that very, very thing. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Yes, we will go somewhere else sometime this year. But for a while, we're stuck. But at least we're not spinning our wheels. Amen? I don't think we are. I'm not. I'm having a good time. And you do what you want. But now, kiddos, those flashlights work. Okay, I'm not worried about the kids seeing if they work. It's you men that I'm concerned about. You know, okay, so. But I saw a bunch of them during the special. So, parents, make sure those are confiscated, okay, for a few minutes here. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. If you're able, making the leniency for Brother Maxwell back there. And verse number 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called. And we'll stop there. Father, bless our message today. Thank you for your Word, all that it does for us. Oh God, the good song that we just heard said, Lord, please send a revival to my heart. How I need it, how I think we need it. Oh Lord, we're a needy, needy people. Rend the heavens and come down. And Lord, please help me in these moments and speak to our hearts as a church family on this cold January morning. I pray in Christ's name and amen. Thank you and be seated. And there's certainly no effort made to conceal or hide the fact that God, I'm talking about our triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, was involved, and I'm speaking solely involved, in the creation of the heaven and the earth. His name is used 32 times. The proper noun, God, is used 32 times in chapter 1. The pronoun He, referring to God, is used 6 times. The pronoun His is used about God once. So 39 times in one chapter, God is mentioned by His proper name or referenced with a pronoun in the first chapter of the first book in your Bible 39 times. How foolish man appears to be when he tries to speak intelligently about the beginning and does it by leaving God out of his discussion. How foolish he looks. And the truth is, you know, we've been looking at these little two little words in chapter 1, and God, 28 times. First message, and God said, God speaks. Second message, and God saw, God sees. Third message, and God divided. We looked at that last Sunday morning from verse number 4. God divided, He parted, He separated, He distinguished between light and darkness. And when you follow that thread through the Scripture, you see over and over again where light and darkness are used symbolically of good and evil, right and wrong, God's people and the world, saved and lost. God divides. God divides. He did it all the way back in chapter 1 in the very beginning. Now, today's our three words that we're looking at in verse number 5, and God called. People, the truth is, every God denier, every so-called atheist, everyone who worships a false God, all of them admit and acknowledge over and over and over and over and over and over again that the God of the Bible is indeed the true and only God, and that He was involved in creation. These God deniers, they admit God's reality. And they admit God's work over and over again. You say, Pastor, how do they do that? How do you know that? I know that because of verse number 5. The Bible says, and God called the light day, and He called the darkness night. And God called in this sense is used as a synonym for named. God named the light day. God named the darkness night. But that's not all that God named in chapter 1. In verse number 8, the Bible tells us that God called or named the firmament heaven. In verse number 10, the Bible says that God called or named the dry land earth. And He called or named the gathering of the seas, the waters together, He named or called seas. So day, night, heaven, earth, seas, all are names that God gave to these particular elements of His creation. So I went on Google this week, which is the end all for knowledge, right? How many languages are there, dialects, in the world? They said, somebody there said there's over 6,000 language, dialects, tongues in the world. I don't know if that's true or not, that's what it said. But they had 104 different major languages listed. Do you know that 104 languages have a word for day? And 104 languages have a word for night? And 104 languages have a word for heaven. And 104 languages have a word for earth. And 104 languages have a word for seas. And these are just a few of the known languages in the world today. These common worlds, even the words, even the languages that are spoken by people who live in countries that basically deny there is a God, like China. If you go in there and look, main religion for China, atheist. But even the Chinese have words for day, night, heaven, earth, and seas. Countries whose population, the major part of the population is a false religion like India, where 79.8% of the population is Hindu. Have names, words for day, night, heaven, earth, seas. Indonesia, 87.2% Muslim. Indonesian language has words for day, night, heaven, earth, seas. And I'm here to remind us this morning that it was God, Jehovah God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who named those names, who called those names, who gave those names, called light day, called darkness night, called the firmament heaven, called the dry land earth, called the large gathering together of waters seas. So every time a person from any country, speaking any language, any dialect, any tongue, uses a word for day, night, heaven, earth, and seas, is ultimately acknowledging the existence of the one true God. They can say what they want to about not believing Him. But they're acknowledging the existence of the God, the Creator. They can't help themselves. Take God out of the world. Take God out of existence. Take God out of creation. Let me ask you a question. Who called light day? Who called darkness night? Who called the firmament heaven? Who called the dry land earth? Who called the gathering of the waters seas? If you take God out of all that, who named them? Who called them? It was God who called them. How about instead of being deceitful and dishonest, how about we all just admit and acknowledge that in the beginning God created, and He alone called or named day, night, heaven, earth, and seas. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1. You have to even hold your finger. We're not going to go back to that particular passage this morning. We'll go on to another one in just a moment. But look at Romans chapter 1. And let me remind you how wrong and ungodly and wicked it is to deny that God was the Creator. And even more so to use words that God named, that God gave, and still deny His existence. Look with me at Romans chapter 1, and look with me at verse number 18, where the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Do you see that last phrase in that verse? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hinder the progress of truth. They hinder the advancement of truth. Watch it, folks. It's not an ignorant thing. It is a knowledgeable thing. It's an on-purpose thing. They on purpose try to squelch or hinder the advancement and progress of truth by evil measures like denying there is a God, or by worshiping another God, or that God that we worship, the God of the Bible, is not the Creator. And the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against those people. Why is God so wrathful against those people who squash the obvious truth? Look at verse number 20. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God. Now don't miss that. Those are important words. The truth is visible. The truth is evident. What about the Hottentot or the person who's never had, you know, formal learning? That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. How has He showed it unto them? For the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How much more plain can you get? How much more obvious is it? God is basically saying here, these people who deny my existence, these people who worship a false God, these people who push me out of creation and bring another false deity into creation, are not innocent. They're not ignorant. They are holding the truth in unrighteousness because that which is known of me is clearly seen in creation, the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I've used this illustration several times. Usually it's missions conference when I use it. But that evangelist many, many years ago by the name of Bill Rice, the Bill Rice Ranch in Tennessee, named after that man. He was a good... I actually got to hear Bill Rice in person before he died. Had messages that were just down-home cowboy. Love them, lick them, and learn them. Child rearing. Love them, lick them, and learn them. That would go a long ways today. Love them, lick them, and learn them. Other messages. He was a hunter. He enjoyed going on safaris over in Africa. And he combined a preaching trip with a safari to hunt for some big game. And they came into this little village of pygmy type people, very small people. And when they came into this village, he learned about, you can read this in his little book called The Cowboy Boots in Darkest Africa. And he came into this village and learned about this elderly pygmy man who every morning when he woke up would scale the highest tree in the village and sit at the top of that tree and look out into space. Stay there for a while and come down. And next day would skinny up that tree and look out into space and then shinny back down. Day after day, what is that pygmy man doing? What is that man without formal education doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He looks around him day after day. The sun, if you will, comes up in the east and sets in the west. And it happens day after day after day. And there's structure and there's order. And there's a moon and there's a sun and there are stars. And the darkness comes and then the daylight comes. And then we have this and we have that. And that little pygmy man with no formal knowledge of God was crawling up that tree, looking out into the universe. Who are you? What is your name? Who put all of this together? And Bill Rice learned about that little man and sat with that man and began to open the Scriptures with that man. And ultimately that man got saved and many, many people in that little pygmy tribe got saved because, brother, God's Word is true. The things of God are clearly seen. To deny His existence is to attempt to suppress or hold the truth in wickedness. It's not that people just have a different opinion about how we got here. It's wickedness. It's unrighteousness to deny that God created it. And even in their denial, when they say, we're having a great day, or I can't wait to go to bed tonight, or the earth is round, I'm going to go across the sea. I mean, even in their conversation, they acknowledge that God put it all together. God made it. And God called. So these measures that these atheists take don't pan out in the end. God called. God named. He not only created all of those elements from nothing, He named them all after creating them. And those names are permanent names. No one has had the power or the means to change them. God called them. God named them. And so I got to looking this week in the Bible, thinking about this thing of this truth of God naming these elements and calling these elements by certain names. The day, the night, the heaven, the earth, and the seas. And you know, I found in the Bible, you know this is true, that in the Bible, God named some people. Not very many. But He named some people. Now, He renamed some people. He renamed Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. He renamed Jacob into Israel. He renamed a lot of people. But God named a handful. Now, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God named Adam, but I would have to guess. Nobody else was around to do it. He had to call him Adam. He did not name Eve. Adam named Eve. You can read that in Genesis. He named Ishmael. Abraham and Hagar's son. You shall call his name Ishmael, God named him. God named Isaac, Abraham and Sarah's son. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. Hosea had three different kids. Read the book of Hosea. God named all three of those children. You're going to call this name, and this one this name, and this one this name. God named John. And his last name wasn't Baptist. Zechariah and Elizabeth weren't Mr. and Mrs. Zacharias Baptist. He told Zacharias and he told Elizabeth both, thou shalt call his name John. He was called John the Baptist because he baptized, which means immersed. It's hard to sprinkle by immersion. It's hard to come up out of the water if it's being sprinkled. He was called John the Baptist because he dunked the converts. Amen. And those are really, in my research, all the people whom God named, except for one other. There's one other person that God named. And the amazing thing about it, he was such a wonderful person, it took more than one name for God to describe him. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, his name is Adam. In Revelation 1:8, his name is Almighty. In the same verse, his name is Alpha and Omega. In Revelation 3:14, his name is the Amen. In Hebrews 3:1, his name is Apostle. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, his name is Bishop. In Jeremiah 33:15, his name is Branch. In Romans 9:5, his name is Christ. In Luke 9:20, his name is Christ of God. In Hebrews 3:1, his name is Christ Jesus. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, his name is Christ the Lord. In Isaiah 9:6, his name is Counselor. In Romans 11:26, Deliverer. In Revelation 19:11, his name is Faithful. In Isaiah 9:6, his name is the Everlasting Father. And in Isaiah 40, verse 3, his name is God. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, his name is Governor. In Hebrews 3:1, his name is High Priest. In Acts 3:14, his name is Holy One. In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, his name is Holy One of God. In Isaiah 41:14, his name is Holy One of Israel. In Isaiah 7:14, his name is Emmanuel. In Matthew 1:1, his name is Jesus Christ. In Acts 3:14, his name is Just. In Acts 7:52, his name is Just One. In Revelation 19:16, his name is King of Kings. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, his name is Lamb. In John 1:29, his name is Lamb of God. And in John 1:9, his name is Light. In Revelation 5:5, his name is Lion. In Revelation 1:8, his name is Lords. In Revelation 15 and verse 3, it's Lord God Almighty. In Revelation 9:16, his name is Lord of Lords. And in Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 26, his name is Messiah. In chapter 9 of Daniel verse 25, his name is Messiah the Prince. In Isaiah 9:6, his name is Mighty God. In 1 Timothy 6:15, he's called Potentate. In Isaiah 60:16, one of Jacob. Acts chapter 3 verse 15, his name is Prince. In Isaiah 9:6, Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 60:16, Redeemer. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, Rock. In Revelation 5:5, Root of David. In Luke 2:11, Savior. In 1 Peter 2:25, Shepherd. In Genesis 49:10, Shiloh. In Hebrews 1:2, Son. In Mark 14:61, Son of the Blessed. In Luke 1:32, Son of the Highest. In Malachi 4:2, Son, S-U-N. In Revelation 19:11, True. In John 1:1, Word. In Revelation 19:13, the Word of God. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, one person. 55 personal nouns that begin with uppercase letters. This does not include where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the lily of the valley. The rose of Sharon. Does not include all of those. These are 55 references where God called that one person by a different name. It took that many names to define who He is, describe Him. But turn to Philippians chapter 2. There's a 56th name that rises above all other 55 names. That's according to what God said in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 7, or verse number 6, or actually verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know the verses. Look at verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. I'm not going to go back through all those 55 names, but He was given a name that's above all other names. That at the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. How? It's everything I could do right now to just keep them running around this auditorium. Shout it out. Glory to God. All of those names were given to one person, but out of all of those names, one name rises above all of them. And that is the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name used for God's Son who became flesh, who took the form of a servant. Jesus is the name of the one that was made in the likeness of you and me. Jesus is the name of the one who humbled Himself. Jesus is the name of the one who became obedient unto death. Jesus is the name of the one who died on that cross. The name of the one who was buried. And it was Jesus who came out of that tomb. Jesus is the one in whom we place our trust to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to wash us whiter than snow. Jesus is the name of the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the name given to Him by God. And that name is above every name. That name is exalted. And someday, all the atheists who claim there is no God, but who use God's words, will bow their knee to the name of Christ. And all the deniers will bow their knee to the name of Christ. And someday all those who called another false god by a holy name will bow to that exalted name. Every knee, the Bible says in verse 10, in heaven will bow to that name. There is no saint of God. There is no angel of God greater than the one who bears the name of Jesus. Because everything in heaven will bow to that name. Everything on earth, or in earth, it says in verse 10, will bow to that name. And every knee under the earth. So what does that mean? I think that means those devils that are bound up in the lake of fire at this very moment, someday, will bow their knee to the name of Jesus Christ. The name that God called Him. And God called the light day. And God called the night darkness. And God called the firmament heaven. And God called the dry land earth. And God called water seas. And He called His name Jesus. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That name has no equal. It is the name above every name. Who are you living for? I'm trying to live for the one whose name is above all of them. Who are you serving? I don't know about you, but I'm trying to serve the one whose name is above all other. Who do you belong to? I'm thankful I belong to the one whose name is above all other. I did not know what the weather would be like on January 1st this year when God began to boil my soul about chapter 1. I did not know we would not run the buses today. But it doesn't do us harm to have the church body in this auditorium this morning. And just to be reminded that what we do is in honor of the name that's above every name. The name that God called Him. Jesus. Father in heaven, we love You. My heart is stirred. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful to have the revelation of Yourself and so many other things in this wonderful book that You've given us. And I just, Lord, want to come this morning today and remind our people of the wonderful name of Jesus. You called Him that. Just like You called the light day. You called the darkness, the darkness night. And You called the firmament heaven and the dry land earth and the gathering of the water seas. You called Your gift to us, Jesus. I pray that You'll help us to live for Him, to honor Him, to serve Him, to love Him. The name above every other. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We don't have any guests or visitors today, but I must ask the question, are you saved? Do you belong to Christ? If not, why don't you come today and tell one of these men, I need to be saved. And find out what it feels like to belong to the one whose name is above all others. Who are you serving? Who are you living for? You think sometimes to yourself, is it worth it? Am I doing all this? You're doing it for the one whose name is above all others. His name. The name of Jesus. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come. If you want to come and just express your love and appreciation to a great God who called the different elements, those names, who called some other people by name, but most of all, called His Son by the name above all others. Father, just do whatever work in our hearts needs to be done. I pray that through this, Lord, we'll be drawn closer to You, our great God, Creator, the one who named His Son Jesus. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing us a song of invitation this morning. You just obey the Lord as God lays on your heart today.